Remember Bummer Al?
Yeah.
We were just finished discussing Sir Nyanimba Zimur. So there's a little story we have here about if you have someone who's gonna, you invite someone else to, you invite someone to a meal, a guest. So you're supposed to have them lead the bench again. We're gonna have a little story about that, and then we're gonna go back to regular rules of Zimun. But the basic concept is that the person who leads the Zimun is the person who's going to say the benching. The all the Brigham Rosa and everybody else is Yotzev, and they listen to him. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Rabbi Zeref Chalash, he got sick. Alagabe Rebo was a kibbalay. Rebo, the host, whatever a host, Rebo who visited him, said the following thing. He said, he said, if Rabbi Zero will get better and he'll become healed, I take upon myself to make a Yom Tov L'Rabbanan, a big, nice meal, festive meal for the rabbis in celebration of the fact that Rabbi Zero got. It was healed. So who it was a nickname they used to give Rabbi Zeira was Katina Sarich Shake, the short person with the burnt thighs, because that's what happened to Rabbi Zeira, that he
once he would sit on a fire flaming just to check if he would get burned by the fires of Gehenna. One time it never burned him except one time.
Wow. Okay, so it's in his leg. So, yeah, that's I forgot the story, but that's the fuller story. So anyway, he was sick, and Rabbi Bo said, "If he gets better, great. I'm gonna make him a festive meal." Itpach, he did get better. So obviously the kulur ban, they made a meal, and Rabbi Bo made a meal for everybody. Kimata lemishrei when he wanted to make hamoti to break the bread for everybody. Amalu Rabbi Zero, the Rabbi Zero lishan lamar. Can you break the bread for everybody? Could you cut the challah and make that motzi? I'm really lozo ramar lahad Rabbi Yochanan damer ba bai potzeh. Still, you know that the host, the person who paid for it, he's the one that usually is the one that should break the bread. So that's not my job. You should do it. So, Sharlahu, you're right. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan did. He took the challah, made that motzi. Came out to the veruche when they're up to making the benching, they finished the meal. Amar lo nivrach lamar. They wanted to honor Rabbi Zeira. They said, "Oh, can you do the benching?" Amar lei lo sover lamar lahadur Rav Huna to min bavel. The Amar Moshe Mavarech. Don't you know that Rav Huna says in Rav Huna's from Bavel? Don't you know that Rav Huna says that the botseya, the person who made hamotzi, is also the one who should bench? So basically, Rabbi Zeira got out of both kibudim. He pinned it on Rebo. The Rebo, you're the host. You should make that moti. And look, you should also bench. Ihu commands early. And what did Rabbi Bahu think? Meaning, what, he didn't actually know this idea of Rabbi Hona. He says the Gemara, no, he did. Ki hadam Rabbi Yochanan, he followed this other opinion of Rabbi Yochanan. Vishom Rishim Ben Yichai. Vabai potev orech mevarech. Morning, guys. He filed the Pinder Rabbi Yochanan, which says that the Baal Bayit cuts the bread, he makes the hamotzi, and the host is the one who should bench. Okay? And the Gemara gives two svaras. There's about 10 lines or so down, above. Less one line is Baal Bayit. The Gemara gives two very simple svaras, very important svaras. Baal Bayit, Botseya, Kadeshi, Sobahayim Yafa. You want the host to cut the challah because he's going to do it generously. And if you have a guest, imagine you have a guest make the hamotzi for everybody. So very easily what can happen is that he's going to be a little stingy. He doesn't want to give out the Baal Bayit's food so generously. It's on his own. So he's going to cut small pieces. Everybody's going to get a small piece, not even have a kezias, and then get into real shilas. If they're going to be yotzei, their meal, if it's a Shabbos meal, and if it's a regular weekday meal, so then they can't bench unless they had a kezias. And the bread doesn't touch the other foods without a kezias. Basically, so they're going to give him too small of a piece. So basically, that's why you want the Baal Bayis to be the one who cuts and makes the hamotzi. And Balabai Botegadish Sabai and Yafa, Orach Mavarakadish Varach, Balabai. The guest should be the one to lead the Zimun because he's going to make the bracha in benching of the bracha Zoreach. The bracha on the Balabais, he would bless the Balabais, and he should be successful. And the Gemara actually records the text of this, as we have in our benching today. That whenever someone's a guest or someone else's house, this is the little paragraph in the Harachamans at the end of benching. You add the small little paragraph, and this is what the Gemara says. My Mavarach, what are you saying? If you're a guest, here at Son Shalavosh Baba, that we bless this host, he shouldn't be embarrassed in this world or in the next. Rabbi Mosbadvarim, Rabbi add a few more things. So Rebbe is to add a few more things that he should be successful in all his ways, in all his investments and everything, all his things that gets involved in endeavors, he should be successful. And they should be krovim le'ir, they should be near the city. Now, what's the pshat in that? That if you're near the city, it's easy to reach. If you have your business, whatever, or the farms or the orchards right next to where you live, so you can check up on them all the time. So you're not really worried about them. You don't have to do a lot of traveling. If they're far from the city, and he doesn't mean in town or out of town. He means far from the city from any settlement or any person could live. So then it's just annoying. You know, it can be robbed by bandits. You can have wild animals. It could just be more traveling time. It's a little more annoying. So krovim le'ir. You want to give the guy a bracha. He should be successful in his endeavors. He should have his endeavors close to the city. Aishal satan, shouldn't have the satan challenge him in his way, in stuff he's involved with, or in our own things that we're involved with, basically, he shouldn't encounter any thought of sin, any thoughts of sin, or chances to do anything wrong. For now and forever. In other words, to give him a big bracha in ruchnias and gashmias to be successful. And you throw yourself into the bracha at the end of the bracha that you should be successful. You know, not the physical brachas. You don't put yourself in there. Actually, no, you put yourself in the whole thing. Nechasav and nechasinu. You put yourself in the bracha completely. Fine.
Not at the beginning, like the lawyer.
Yeah, and if that line not, but all the. The last lines of Rebbe, basically, you bless yourself as well. You include yourself so that you can come back and give more brachas. That basically is the halacha. Okay, Ashkenazim have a different text that most of the time that they say Bizman Hazeh for the blessing of the Baal Bayit, but the basic idea is that you're yotze with saying anything. Rebbe used to say a specific text. Svardim basically say that today. Ashkenazim say a shortened version, but the point is the same, that we bless the Baal Bayis whenever we have the food. There's a discussion. Does that apply to a yeshiva bachar who's eating from the, you know, when, let's say when there's a free lunch with pizza or something that they sponsor at YU, or they have something from the yeshiva that they have food, or let's say you go away. All right, fine. Let's just leave it at that, let's say, right now. Yeshiva, do you make a brachas aray after that? So different.
Is the yeshiva got the pizza?
Let's say why you paid for the pizza.
We're paying tuition, maybe we're part of
okay. Good, so not so simple, right? Well, let's say some of the money comes from donations. It's hard to know which money. Yeah, so that's what Rav Yasher said for yeshiva guys. They should always make birchas areyach if they're having stuff for the yeshiva because it comes from donations. Now, you have to judge, yeah.
I understand.
It's not always, yeah, correct. It's not always from donations, it's hard to know.
I mean, YU is an institution. It's not like an owner. Like the whole,
but as long as we're not the owner.
Yeah. Meaning, whether it comes from donations or not, that I actually have no idea. But if it were to come from donations, the idea could still be, not everybody thinks of you, Mechuyim, you would still say that you're part of the yeshiva, so then you're like a ben bias. You're like a family member. The yeshiva is your family member. You don't need to brachas around. Yeah, it could be. The pshat and those who say you would say it is basically anytime you can give a bracha to somebody that you didn't pay for the food, so you can give a bracha to somebody. It doesn't have to be, it belongs to a single individual.
So then you're not blessing a single individual. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah, but I'm going to bless, when I say the balabais, I'm blessing the person who sponsored the food.
But I thought we were saying that no one necessarily sponsored it. It's just why you was paying for it.
Right, but where do I get the money for? But even if they, let's say, even, I don't know. I think it's a good discussion.
I have a hard time understanding it. That doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that I lack the
I don't know if I can explain so well, but I think the way to explain it was, since some of the money comes back to some donors, so then if I give a bracha to them, it comes back to me blessing them. Yeah, is it intuitive? I don't know if it is. I'm not sure everybody agrees. All right. Ad heichon birkat hamazon. Okay, birkat hamazon. This is a little more complicated. How long is the zimun? So Rashi understands what this simply is going to mean is whenever you do a zimun, how much do you, when you, 3 people or 10 people, they join together and they invite each other to bench. So you do a zimun. That zimun is going to go so far, and then afterwards is the rest of the benching. And the rest of the benching, if you don't have a zimun, you just do that part on your own. So the Gemara says as follows, Rav Nachman Omer Ad Nevarich. That's just the first line. Right? That's just the first line of the invitation to bench. That's how, as much as it is, it's mamish one line. Right? That he says, Nevarich Shachana Mishalat V'chayinu, everybody answers back, Baruch Shachana Mishalat V'chayinu. Everybody says, let us bench. He says, yeah, let's go bench. Right? That's what the whole Zimun is. Rav Shisha says no ad hazan is actually the first whole paragraph. So Rashi understands what that to actually mean is if you're benching on your own and you don't have a zimun, you don't say the first bracha of benching. You start with no delucha because everything else is called zimun. Zimun is the first line of Nevarich and Baruch Shachanu and as well the first paragraph. So Tosfos says this is impossible. How can you say that Zimun extends to the first bracha. And if you're benching by yourself, you're not going to say the first bracha, of benching. But all over, you know, Shas, we always call benching a 3 deraisa bracha or a 4 bracha midarabanan. We always call benching to be the brachas. How could you possibly say that you don't say that bracha? Also, the minhag is we know that we do say. Anybody, anytime we bench, we start with the first bracha. You know, Kala Zana Dolom Kulam Tuvo. We start with that bracha. Everybody knows. So, how could you be that we shouldn't say that? Bracha says, for Tosfos says, what the Gemara is actually asking is, whenever I listen to a zimun and don't bench immediately, how much do I have to listen to? And that is referring to, let's say a guy is going to walk out in the middle of a meal, but he's going to come back, he'll bench a little bit later for whatever reason he needs to leave. So he listens to the Zimun, and then he's going to bench later. Or three guys are eating together, and 2 guys finish, and 1 guy doesn't. So it's in the last half. The nice thing to do is, and we should do, is the 2 guys should bench, and then 1 guy should listen, and he should finish his meal, and then he'll bench after. So what do you do when you're in one of those cases? You're not benching immediately, but you're listening to the benching. How much of the Zimun do you have to listen to? So then we have a machlokas. Rav Nachman said you have to just listen to the first line. You have to be part of that. And then afterwards go back to eating. And Rav Shisha says, no, you have to listen to the whole first bracha. Why do you have to listen to the whole first bracha? We just said. The whole first bracha is part of benching. It's not part of zimun. Says, tell you this, because since the Baruch Shachana, the first introductory line, is sort of standalone and almost not a bracha in itself, is meaningless. It's just saying, let us bench. It's not actually blessing God. So then you have to wait till you say the first bracha. Otherwise, it's a standalone invitation that leads up to nothing. So you have to listen to something, even though you're not going to be yotze with that, but you have to listen to it, say amen to it, and then go back to eating. Okay? It's a little bit similar to Baruchu, when we do Baruchu in davening. Baruchu is an invitation to everybody. Come and let us go, and I'm calling out to everybody, go and bless God. All right? So it's supposed to be before some piece of davening. After davening, it's a little difficult to say Baruch Hu. Yeah, there is a minute that people do such a thing, but basically most of Baruch Hu is introductory. Introductory to before a davening. So same thing here. Okay, it's supposed to introduce something going forward. So far, so clear? Nima Ketanani, where it says, let's explain this as a machlokes tonight. Tatani chada bergara mazon shnayim vishlosha. One brisa says that bergara mazon could exist as two brachot or three brachot. Tanidach shlosha v'arba. Could exist as, the bergara mazon could exist as three brachos or four brachos. So how could this possibly be? Savrua dekuli alma atova meitiv la'adereza. So we're taking for granted the fourth bracha of benching tova meitiv is not deraisa, so that's not what we're discussing. Let's see. Maybe this is what the Braises are arguing about, the following idea. Maybe, first I'm going to take Rashi's approach and we'll do Tosos. Maybe they're arguing about the Machlokas version, Nachman or Rishishin. The first Braise held like Rishishin, that in Zimun count, Zimun goes all the way until the end of the first paragraph, until the end of Hazan. So, when we say the bench, it could be two and three, it means as follows. It could be two brachas if you don't have a zimun. So if you don't have a zimun, you just start with no delucha, that's one bracha. And then you do rachim, second bracha. That's the whole benching. Deraisas, two brachas, that's the end of it. And if you have a zimun, three brachas. You start with zimun, that goes all the way until the end of the first paragraph, hazantakol. That's the first bracha. And then you have two more, no delucha and rachim. That's how the braisa makes sense. And the other braisa, the other one that says that bench could exist as three or four brachas would mean that he thinks benching is very short, zimun is very short, it's just one line, and that's how you can have when you daven by, when you say benching by yourself, benching could be potentially four brachas. How could that be? Zimun is one, then hazan is two, then the first paragraph is two, then you have nodalacha three, and you have rachim is four. And when you do it without a zimun, you skip the Nevarach Shachanu, you skip that two lines. So you just start with Hazan, that's one. Nodalcha, two. Rachim, three. So you got three brachas. Okay? So now we've explained both brachas according to, you know, each one brachas according to each opinion. That's how Rashi learned the Gemara. Tosa said what the Gemara means is that if you don't know how to say the Birkat HaMazon by yourself. If you don't know all the words, you don't have something, a printed text. So you can have a few people make the benching. And you can sort of split it up. One guy's going to say part of the benching, and someone will say a different part of the benching. Everybody will listen. The guy who's an expert in saying Nordelcha, he'll say the Nordelcha. Everybody will listen. They'll say Amen or whatever. They'll listen. They'll be Yote Shmei Kone, or the Zimun, the joint bracha. And the second guy comes along and says Rachim for everybody. Great. So you could do such a thing. So how many people at most could you possibly split it up to? And the principle here is, so it says, you can't split up a bracha in half. You can't say, you're going to say half a bracha, and you're going to say half a bracha. Okay, that doesn't work. So now the braises mean as follows. The opinion that says two and three would say you can maybe honor two and three different people to say the benching. Because if you think that he assumes like that Hazan goes until the benching goes, the Zima goes until the end of the first paragraph of Hazan. And according to that opinion, so the first person will have to say the Zimun all the way down to the first paragraph. That's one person. And then go from Nodalacha, that's the second person. And then you go Rachim, the third person. Okay, that's good. And when you only have no Zimun, so then you can only use two people because Tosa says it's Lav Dafka too. Basically, you could break it up into two people, you could break it up into three people. The point is that maximally you can break it up into three people. Two is Lav Dafka. The point of this braisa, according to Tosa, is basically maximally three people. Okay? Because you can't split up Zimun from the other brachas. So let's just say that one more time clearly. You could say the first paragraph is one bracha, Nodalcha, the second bracha, the bracha, and the third bracha. Potentially you can have three people. You can have one person, you can have two people, you can have three people. That's what the braisa means. And the second braisa, which says you can have three or four people, means that since Zimun is a separate Indian, so then someone could do the Zimun, someone could do the Hazan, someone could do the Nodalcha, someone could do Rachim, four different brachas. Okay? Does that make sense? That's how Tosa read those lines. Anyway, says the Gemara, lo. No, there's no proof from each braytha to each opinion. Rav Nachman v'tar tzatame, Rav Sheshem v'tar tzatame. Each one explained the braytha according to their opinion. Rav Nachman v'tar tzatame. Rav Nachman says, I think Zimun's very short, just one line. Dekuliyama anevarich. That everybody agrees to that approach. Man number shoshva arba shabir. The one who says it's 3 and 4 works out well with my opinion. According to Rashi or Tosfos, the same whatever we said before. Man number shtayim v'shalosh. Amelcha hachal bruchas pol and maskin damar mar poteich v'azan kolov bnei shleim bruchas haaretz. So Rav Nachman says, how could he potentially knock off one bracha to explain the brayso that says 2 and 3? Because usually it should be 3 and 4. Answer is by the workers who are working for a wage, not for their food. They should do a shortened benching, and they should say the first bracha normally, and then the nodelcha and rachim. They should throw it all together, make one bracha out of it, a shortened bracha. So you have a shortened benching. So this is how you can potentially have benching to be 2 and 3 brachas with the go. The zimun is the first line, then hazan is the second line. And then in the second bracha, and then you have Nodalcha plus Rachim has one big chalon bracha. That's how you can have 3, and 2 would mean if you had no Zimun, you just cut out the Zimun, you go back to 2. That's how Rav Nachman could explain it, but Zimun still is an independent one-liner bracha. Rosheshit, Matar Satami, Dukulam Adazam. Everybody thinks Zimun goes until the first end of the first paragraph. We understand the opinion says 2 and 3. What are you going to do about that? Because you can put in a fourth bracha. Maybe that is deraisa. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef. Now the Gemara is sort of finished on that point. The Gemara is going to now describe other proofs. How do we know this fourth bracha is or is not deraisa? Rav Yosef says, I'm sure that it's not like deraisa, because he says, I'll prove that it's not deraisa. Shreipolim okramotam. Because the workers don't have to say the fourth bracha. You see, it's not deraisa, but it would be deraisa. How could the rabbis come and uproot it? There is a discussion, okay, maybe the rabbi sometimes it could be ochre, dover, mean the meritor, or sheval tasek, passively they tell someone not to do a mitzvah. Right? On shofar on Rosh Hashanah, they made a gzeira, they're not supposed to blow a shofar and went into Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, because maybe you're going to come to carry it. Or lula, when it falls, the first day of Sukkot, when it falls out on Shabbos, we don't take the lula because we take it a different day because we're afraid people are going to come to carry. So that's true. But over here, the Pnei Yosher says the reason. Yeah, for monetary reasons, just not to make the Baal HaBayis, not to take away a little bit more time to bench for another bracha. If it was a mitzvah deraisa, they wouldn't say not to do it. Even though they could, they wouldn't do such a. Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Bar Marta Mishved Rav Teidah DeBetova Midavlau Deraisa Shabbatei Baba Baruch Ein Chotem Baba Baruch. Another proof that the fourth bracha is not deraisa because it starts with the words Baruch, and does not conclude with the words Baruch. Most of the rest of the benching, one bracha follows after a different bracha, and does not start with Baruch, because it's called Brachas Melechavirta. It's one thing that's connected to a different one, so it doesn't need to have to start with Baruch. Kedetanya, as it says in the following bracha, Kol bracha kulon, but Baruch, everything in the world usually, a bracha has to start with Baruch. Chotem Baruch, finish with the Baruch. Utz mi Baruchas Apirus, a Baruchas Amitzus. A bracha asmocha lachavita, a bracha achron shabakurishma. Right, most things start with a baruch and end with a baruch, except for short brachas, like brachas apiros, shakol neyavadvara, or whatever it is. It's a one line of bracha. So the one line of bracha does not have any conclusion. Just as a baruch in the beginning, no bracha at the end. But, I don't know, let me just give an example, like asher yatzar, starts with the baruch and ends with the baruch. That's a typical bracha in the eyes of Chazal. The brachas apiros are short brachas, one line of brachas. Those only start with a baruch. Or brachas hamitzos. Brachas and mitzvahs also generally are short. Whatever it is, that's a short bracha to the point. It does not conclude with the baruch. Brachas melechavirta is it could be a long bracha, but the point is it's connected to the brachas before it, so it does not need to start with a baruch. So most of our Shemona Esrei does not start with the baruch. We have a tachonin, and then every single bracha, one after another, does not have baruch because each one is joined to the one before it. So it doesn't need a baruch. And bracha achron shel krishma, the last bracha of krishma, whether that's the emuna or yitziva nachon in the morning or at night, those brachas don't start with a baruch. Machlukas, why? Rashi says, because that's basically, it's connected to the brachas before it, before Shema. Shema is not an interruption to the brachas Kirishma, because they're all about the theme of Kirishma. So Samach L'Chavir, they're all connected to that theme. The Rashba says, no, it's a new category. It's not brachas Samach L'Chavir, because you just interrupted the Shema. You can't say Samach to anything. Samach to Shema, they're not Samach to any other bracha. But it doesn't even start with the brach. Chazal didn't require starting with the brach, because it's basically a big brach about Shabbat to Hashem. It's a type of brach that they didn't require to make a brach in the beginning. It's its own rule in and of itself. Okay.
Yeah.
You know,
line here. If it's
Samuch Lachavirta,
I would be concerned included there. It must be unique, otherwise it
wouldn't. Yeah, that's basically the Rashi. That's exactly what the Rashi says. Yeah.
So.
And Rashi, this is just an example of what we said. One of the many examples we could have given. Some start with the baruch and don't finish, like the brachos, the pairs, the brachos, the mitzvos. They start with the baruch, they don't end with the baruch. Some have the opposite. They finish with the baruch, but they don't start with the baruch, like the brachos on the chaverta. All the ones in Shmoneh Esrei that are connected to the early baruch, they conclude with the baruch of Hashem, but they don't start with the baruch. Hatova meitiv, potev b'baruch, v'yin chotem b'baruch. Chotem b'mitiv starts with a baruch and doesn't finish with the baruch. Miklal the bracha b'fnei atahi. So you see, it's disconnected from the earlier brachas. It must be it's not deraisa. If it would be deraisa, so then it shouldn't start with the baruch. The other ones do start. Don't start with the baruch. This one too shouldn't start with the baruch. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Teidot Tovah Mitav La Deraisa Shrei Okin Atop Beit Avil. Another time when you don't say the regular fourth bracha is in Avil's house. Kiditanya, Mahim Omrim Beit Avil, Baruch Atov HaMetim. Rekivim Mir Baruch Dayan Emes. So what do they say for the fourth bracha of benching in a yeshiva house? So the Tanakhama says, it says the regular bracha, Atov HaMetim. Rekiv says, no, you say Baruch Dayan Emes. Atov HaMetim in Dayan Emes Lo. Even according to Tanakhama, you don't say the regular text, Atov HaMetim, everything's good, but how can you say that in Avil's house? Everything's good. Ela Ema, Af Atov HaMetim. Even Tanakhama thinks you also add in that text of Atov HaMetim. And the Gemara adds in more elucidation of what this bracha looks like. Mar Zutra Ikul Bei Rav Ashi Itra B'Meltza. Mar Zutra was at Rav Ashi's house and there something happened. There was a tragedy. Someone died. Poteh Patach Beiruch Hatov Ametiv Kel Emes Dayan Emes Shofei Betzedek. Hashem's good, and then we say Hashem is truthful. Emes Hashem keeps Hashem is Dayan Emes. Hashem is the truthful. Judge Shofei Betzedek, Hashem judges with kindness, but Tzedek is justice. Lokeach b'mishpat, he takes away life justly. V'shali b'olamo, and he's in control of the world. Last opok kersona, he does all whatever he needs. Kiol drachav mishpat, everything he does is just. Shakol shalov ananu amo v'avodav, everything belongs to him. We're his servant. V'chol ananu chayev l'adolo l'varcho. We need to bless him because of that. The Goder Peretz of Yisrael, Hashem fixes up the breaches in Klai Yisrael, Hu Yigdor, Peretz HaZot, Yisrael L'chaim. Hashem will give Necham to this family for life. That's the bracha, bracha of in the benching that you'd say for the fourth bracha in Avil's house. It actually is brought in Shulchan Aruch, this bracha. It is not very commonly done. It doesn't mean it's not the halacha though. And I don't really know so much pshat in the minhag, but there is such a thing. There is basically, if the avil is benching for everybody, take out, it's in the Archel Siddur, you take out the Archel Siddur, you can see that this bracha exists for the avilim to say, and really if anybody else is eating with them, they could also say this bracha as well. Okay, Lamaisa, I don't know if it is the minhag, but it's not so common, but it does exist. We can look into it in Shulchan Aruch and the Siddur. Anyway, Leheichan Hu Chozer. This is back to benching topic. Someone who needed to listen to benching, and Rashi says they didn't bench right now. They just listened to the benching because they were going to go out to the street and then they're going to bench later, or two people are stopping. Sorry, one person was stopping for two people to let them bench. So where does he listens up to some part of the benching, and then afterwards, where does he go back to? Okay, so Rav Zid Mishmid Abaya Marchoza the Rosh, you have to go back to the beginning of benching. Rav Nachman Amri the Malkum Shapasik, you go to wherever you listened up to. So meaning, it could be to the end of the first paragraph. You listened up to the end of the first paragraph, wherever you listened up to, that's the paragraph where you should go back to. Tosa has a different explanation. Tosa says that the guy who is the mezamein, how far should he repeat when he does the zimah? Right? He says, Nevar shecham mishol devarachayinu. And everybody responds, oh, Baruch Shechad Mishol Devachinu. At that point, what should the Mezamein do? Should he repeat that line, Baruch Shechad Mishol Devachinu? Should he repeat back, to go back to that line, closer to that line? Or wherever Mokosh Pasach, wherever he concluded, and he heard everybody else talking in the Zimun, they weren't really trying to be Motzi him, but he'll start the benching because he already heard them. So that's the two opinions over here. Does he go back to where he was before and he continues with the Baruch Shechadu? Or he continues, Hilchot HaNo Mokosh Pasach, he takes off from wherever he left off. Okay, and that's the halacha. He doesn't actually have to go back, but Lamaid said that's what people do. People do go back for that line. They say Baruch Shachanu. They repeat that line. And for Rashi, we don't hold that if you listen to the first paragraph and you're yotze that, by listening, you said, I mean, you don't have to go back for that. Because we don't really follow Rashi so much on this whole sugya. But that is an important thing. What we do follow from the first sugya is a big machlokas, Svarim Ashkenazim. A machlokas, we don't follow Rashi. We assume that the Zimun is separate from the benching. Right? The guys having a benching by themselves, you absolutely say the whole benching. That's for sure. The only thing that we would take away from Tosos, the halacha, is when a guy stops to listen to Zimun, how much of Zimun do you have to listen to? So Svarim hold like the opinion of Rav Nachman, you only have to listen to one line. The first line, that's as much you have to listen to. And Ashkenaz and the Ramah Paskins, like Rosh Hashanah, you have to listen to the first paragraph. Okay. Any questions? Let's see. All right, new piece. Amr le Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah, Avgad, the Rabbanu Kishishi Atun, Parsai, Besar Chesuda, Biki, Minaychu. Even though their great rabbi is coming to visit, to this meal, sorry, Atun, that you guys are, forget it, coming. You guys, even though you're great older rabbis, still, Parsai, Besar Chesuda, Bekim, Minaychu, the Persians, when it comes to meal things, are wiser, just an etiquette in Derech Eretz about how to set up a meal. What do we learn from the Persians? What do we learn from them? Bezman, Shehen, Shemito, Galdam, Ezeb, Rosh. There are two beds, so the Gadol, and two beds, I don't mean bed, we really mean a couch where they used to eat. When they used to eat, they used to eat on and lie down on a couch, on the floor, and somebody would sit sort of in front of the other person, one like by the head of the other, and which, you know, the guy who's sitting at the head one is more chashuv. He could see the second guy, the second guy can't see him. So the gadol mesev berosh, the chashuv guy should sit in the head by the first table, by the first couch. Sheni lo lamala him, and the second guy, I'm sorry, is above him, whatever, behind him, and that's their setup. Bizman Shahim Shalosh, and there are three people, Gadol Mesev Bamsa, the great guy sits in the middle, and Shani Lo Lamalahim, and the second most important guy is above his head, Shlishi Lamatahim, and the third guy is below him. Okay, they're in a row, but the most Gadol doesn't need to look at the guy who's above him, so to speak. Okay, and when people want to speak to him, they turn around to him. And when the gadol wants to talk to the guy who is like behind him, who is above his head, so what does he do? He doesn't want to have to get up and face him, so he just signals with his hand while he's sitting, and people will talk with him. Vitaris vitaris is he instead of having to get up to sit up to talk to the guy behind him, he just signals with his hand and he'll talk. Okay, that's the basic idea. That is because the gadol can't talk to the guy above his hand, and therefore he has to signal to him. Fine. Next. Amr le shani parsai de machve le b'machog. Oh, one second, sorry. So the Gemara was basically asking us a question. I just gave the answer. The Gemara was asking a question. How would they talk to each other? Would he have to mitaritz tarute viyatu mishtai ba'day? Would he have to sit up straight in order to talk to the guy behind him? That was a question. Sorry. The Gemara says, when you have the Gadol sitting in the middle, and the Sheni, Lavala Himenu, how does the Gadol want to talk to the Sheni? How does that happen? What is it, to sit up and turn around? Like, that's really annoying. In the middle of the meal, you want to sit up and turn around? So, no. How's it going to talk to him? It says the Gemara, no, don't worry. The Persians had this the way that they used to speak with sign language or whatever. That's how they would talk when they were at a meal. They wouldn't get up and sort of turn around and face each other. Good. Next halacha. Mayim Rishonim Mehechan Mechilin. When you go to wash for Hamotzi, who goes first? Amar Leir Gabbe the Gadol. The most respected person should go first. Yeshev Gadol, V'yishmor Yadav, Achi Nodolin Kulin. Question, should the great person who washed first have to sit there for an hour until everybody else washes and have his hands clean and make sure his hands don't get dirty in between? That's like annoying. So it's not covetic to have to make him wait. Amar Leir Alter my Jitakahainer, no problem. He doesn't have to wait for anybody. They bring him an individual table immediately so he can start making Hamotzi. However, if you don't have that, so then the Mayim Rishonim doesn't need to go to the Gadol because he's going to, but Afka, he shouldn't go first. It's not covenant to make him wait. Okay? Mayim Achronim Mehechad Machilin, but when you get to Mayim Achronim and we're getting ready for benching, wash your hands. Sorry, Mike, on this today. Who starts with that first? The least honored guest should do the Mayim Achronim first. Gadol Yate says the Gemara, wait a minute, I don't understand. Why is the greatest guy not going to wash his hands first? He's going to sit there with dirty hands. Gadol Yate, he's sitting Yadam Zuhamos. He's sitting with dirty hands. Until everybody else washes, he's the last guy to get to wash. His hands are sitting there dirty. They used to eat with their hands. Their hands were dirty at the end of the meal before they eventually wash them. Okay, but why should he get to wash last? No problem. They would leave him with his food all the way until everybody else got to wash. In other words, yeah, he had dirty hands, but he was still eating. As long as he had this food still in front of him, he would have his dirty hands, but he wouldn't wash until they would take away his table and he'd be the last guy to wash. Amar Rav Sheshet, Ana Matnita Yadana. Yeah, that's maybe the person of the practice, practice of the Persians, but I have a brisa. Design. Kizer Haseder Hase. What is the way to make a meal? Bismah, James Shemito, if you have two beds, two people coming to eat, Golem is a Rosh and Imlumata Haymanu. The exact opposite. That the Gadol sits at the head, and you can see the guy below him. Bismah, James Shalosh, Mito, the three people, Golem is a Rosh. The Gadol still sits at the head. Shenilo, Lumata, Ilamala Haymanu. The second guy, it sounds like the same sort of thing. The three beds, the Gadol sits. Well, it sits at the Rosh, somehow he'll be able to save everybody. I don't know. Sheni lo lama alahim, and he sits above him, and Shlishi lo lama tehim. Mm-hmm. So Rashi just says, how are they going to talk? Rashi explains that the Gadol could talk to the third guy because he could see him, he's below him. And if he wants to talk to the second guy, So he'll have to turn around. But this way, it doesn't make the second guy have to sit below the katan, sit below the third guy. Okay, fine. And you don't want to have the most chashuv guy above all three of them because he can't talk to the third guy. All right. Mayim Rishonim Achilim Nagadol. The Bryce says, who does Mayim Rishonim first? We start with the greatest guy, because he, the most mechubed guy, he'll go first, he won't have to wait, and then they'll bring the food right in front of him. Mayim Achronim is Vashim Chamisha Achilim Nagadol. Okay, Mayim Achronim, you want to give it to the guy who's going to bench, the guy who's the Gadol who's going to bench, you want to give it to him to do Mayim Achronim, so you have a little bit of time between when there's Mayim Achronim and when he benches. So the amount of time it takes to prepare benching in his mind, and since there are four brachas in benching, it'll take him the time it takes four people to wash to think about the four brachas in benching. So let him go fifth to last to do Mayim Achronim. Bezman Shehem Be'ef, there are 100 people, Machilam in a Katan, and Shavagi, Eitzel Chamisha, Chosam Atchilam in a Gadol. Okay, even if there are 100 people, you go down to there are 5 people left and let him, the gadol, will wash and he'll prepare the benching in his mind. Wherever the Maimachonim was going back to, who were fifth to last, should do the benching, and you can have any number of those people do the benching. You can have that guy do the whole benching, or you can have that and the last few people do the benching. Anybody who did my machronim first at the end and he had time to prepare them, the last 5 people, they should do the benching. They're going to be the guys who should do the zimun. Rav and Rebichia have a kayat of a suda coming into Rebbe. Once Rav and Rebichia were eating a meal by Rebbe's house, I'm like, Rebbe, the Rav, he told Rav, go wash your hands from my achron. And he got a chazit kamartach. And they saw, Rebbe Chia saw the Rav was all getting afraid. He was nervous that maybe he felt that he was eating too long or that he got his hands all dirty and messy, so he's giving him an insult. Go wash your hands. So he said, no, don't worry. I'm like, bar prachti. My blacksmith was the name of someone who was Tam Chacham, don't worry. I broke a mazona coming along. He's only trying to tell you, go look into the benching. Don't have to worry about anything. He's just telling you, he's going to be happy with the bench. He's telling you to wash my machron first. Yeah.